life, it will be a result of the fact that you lost something. That's the way it works. Otherwise, it abides alone. It has to die first. There's something that will die for you to get something else from the Lord. And that's just that's a basic fact about life. That's just the truth about it. You understand that point? All right, let's get into our message without discussing other things. I've been talking about the law of faith. All right, let's start from Numbers chapter 14. That may be a good place to start. The last few days, Emeka and I have gone somewhere to preach every day for 3 days now. We'll finish it tomorrow. And the first day when I got there was, as I sat down, and that happens a lot. And usually when something like that happens, that scripture becomes very, very important to me for the next many months, for the next season, actually. Just before I mounted the pulpit to start to teach, there was a scripture that the Spirit of God directed me to. And I won't bother to explain to you why I'm sure the Spirit of God. There's a way it works, all right? That I should start that message that day from that scripture. And I'm going to read it today because it's still part of the things that we have been teaching. But first of all, let's start from Numbers chapter 14. Now, the story in the book of Numbers, we all know. The people of Israel, they had gotten to the edge of the promised land. And then, if you read from Deuteronomy, you will find out that they asked Moses to allow them go and spy the land. It was their idea. Because before, when I read it, when I came to an understanding of the way God does things, I was a bit confused as to why God decided that they should go and spy the land. It's not actually the way God does things. All right? If he was the one, he would just tell them, go in, this is the land. He won't tell them to go and spy it. It's good. You should trust him. But I found out later that Moses said that it was because they asked that the Lord should allow them go spy the land. That was why the good Lord said, okay, go ahead and go and spy the land. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 1, for those who want to know what I'm talking about, in verse 22. And then if you see back in that Deuteronomy chapter 13, that area, you will see that God agreed. And you see, the fact that God agrees to something does not mean he was pleased with it. Because he knew what was going to happen, but they insisted. And God said, fine, go ahead. Now, but that's not our message for today. I'm just trying to bring that one in, that I found out that it's not God's order for them to do the way they did. So this was the reason that God allowed them to go in. But that one aside, what happened, we know the story. They saw giants in the land, and there were 12 spies. Two said, we saw a beautiful land. The other 10 said, yes, we acknowledge that the land is beautiful, but there are giants therein. And because of those giants, we are not able to take the land that God wanted to give us. You are getting that point. Now, they now said, they now turned to Moses and said, what kind of trouble is this? It's as if God has come here to come and destroy us here. And then they said, look, now let us appoint somebody. Let's move back to Egypt. When Joshua and Caleb got up to speak, the people decided that Joshua and Caleb wanted them to die. Because those ones said that, look, we can take the land. There's no cause for alarm. There's no need to be afraid. Yet, the people decided, look, I think we should stone the two of you. But this was what happened. The Lord now came. We know the whole story, all right? The Lord now came and was very angry and told Moses, step back, I'm about to destroy all of them. And Moses pleaded, he explained, look, oh God, what are we going to explain to the Egyptians? What happened to the people that you remember by such a mighty hand? No, that's not good. Anyway, God said, all right, this is what I'm going to do, and this is where I want to read. He said from verse 26, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. He says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Please notice that. He said, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Now, what I want you to note is that God emphasized something there. He says, what you said in my hearing that I am going to do to you. Now, notice that it was as you spoke in my hearing. Now, you have to understand this. Anytime you say something, especially to somebody else is hearing. This is the interesting part. God is also hearing. He said, if you go and read Malachi, he said, those that fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord heard. When Aaron and Miriam grumbled against Moses, the Bible said, and the Lord heard it. Do you understand my point? When you talk like that, the Lord is listening. That's why they said that Christ is the head of this home, the unseen guest at every meal, and the silent listener to every conversation. You've not seen that sticker before, but I think you should go and buy it and put it back in our homes. Indeed, he's a silent listener to every conversation. And he's saying that anything you say like that in my hearing, that is exactly what I will do to you. Now, let's get back somewhere else. I want us to read another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, Paul said something up to this moment. Let me just read from 11. I like to read in context, though where I'm going is verse 13. It says, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. It says, so death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. It said, we also believe, therefore also speak. It said, therefore we also speak. Now notice that. He said, we know that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with him and will present us with you. That is, this is what we believe and that's what we are declaring. Are you getting the point? That is, what we believe comes out of our mouth when we speak. Jesus said it like this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, there's one last scripture I want to read and then I begin to speak. That's Romans chapter 10, from verse 8. Paul again was teaching, he said, for what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The reason being, verse 10, with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation, that is resulting in something that is practical, that can be demonstrated on the earth. That's what he meant by salvation. Are you getting the point there? Now, please notice all these scriptures we have read, because these are the things that my discussion this evening is going to be based upon. Now, as you know, we have been talking about the law of faith. And the one thing I want to say again before I begin to dissect the things, the scriptures we have read today, just to review a few things we have said about that law of faith. Now, don't forget this, that I said that faith is a law. Don't ever forget that. Now, that works all the time. That's what a law means. It works all the time. Now, what is faith? We said faith, I have explained this, that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, that by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. We must never forget that. That spiritual things are real. They are very real. They are very tangible. And what I mean by spiritually tangible, they are not imaginations in the heart of people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, it is not like in your heart you believe that God has done something, therefore it will be manifested. That is true. But the reason why you can believe it is because really it exists. Let me say this to you. It is not possible for you to believe what does not exist. If you believe something that doesn't exist, then you have been deceived. Did you hear what I said? I don't know whether you got that point. If it is not possible for you to believe that which does not yet exist, if you think you can believe what doesn't exist, or you believe something and that thing really doesn't exist, then you have been deceived. I want to emphasize that point as I go on into my recapping what we have said before, and then we'll go into today's teaching. What we have been saying actually about faith is that what we are saying actually exists spiritually. Like we said several times, the heavens, the Bible says, are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Are you getting me? And like the prayer of Jesus Christ said, that pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. I've established that that's what that scripture was saying. I don't want to go over that again. That is, the will of God has been written in heaven. That is, that which is in the heavens is real. So what we want to do is to have that thing done on the earth. God spoke to Moses, make sure you build the tabernacle on the earth exactly like the one I showed you in heaven. That is, before the tabernacle of Moses was built, a real tabernacle, the one that Jesus Christ took his blood into, existed in the heavens. Are you getting my point? So what Moses built on the earth was just a replica of that which already existed in the heavens. So what we are saying is this. This is how faith works. Faith is a way by which the thing that exists in the invisible realm, though a very real realm, becomes done on the earth. That God cannot do anything on this earth until a man, a woman of faith, reaches out to God and brings that thing by faith down onto the earth. That is, your faith is not inventing for God. No, you are not trying to get something done that never existed before. God is the all-wise God. In him, there is the ultimate wisdom. He is wisdom personified. What that means is that every plan that you can possibly conceive is already in the mind of God. Are you getting my point? So if you are walking by faith and you are walking with God, what you are doing actually is to discover that which God has done in the heavens. This is how God said it to John. The angel said to him, "Say, come and see what will take place shortly." I don't know whether you get the point. That is, the thing is already taking place up there. Come and look at it. Then you will see it done on the earth after you have prophesied accordingly. And don't forget this again. I've given us an illustration a number of times. When God, the Bible says that God does not do anything on the earth until he has spoken to his servants, the prophets. The reason being that what he wants to do, the prophets will prophesy accordingly. And it's according to what they have said. You are getting that point? That the work of God will now become effected on the earth. It's important we understand this. That is, the law of faith is about the most important law that a Christian must understand. Because it's as you understand that you are actually able to work for God on this earth. Do you get my point? Because you see, what you want to do is to have the will of God done on the earth, literally. The will of God is what God has planned and has written and has recorded in the heavens. And he wants that thing brought down to the earth. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Now, we have seen many things about that law of faith. And I'm just using all this to bring the things that we have learned before back to our minds. All right. Now, so, we have been examining this. And now, what I want to explain today is that issue of that spirit of faith that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 13. Now, a few weeks ago, I read from, where was it now? Somewhere in Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. Now, because of time, I will not read it again. But if you go down to verse 4 and into verse 5, you'll see that God was there speaking with him. And he said in verse 5, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham." Abram means exalted father. Abraham means the father of a multitude of nations. He said, "For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations." He said, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you." Now, I've read all these scriptures to highlight some important issues. Because from my studies and my understanding of the principles of life, what actually decides whether faith is in the heart, all right? I said before, everything that is spiritual must always have a physical manifestation. Can you remember that fact? That is, if something does not have its physical manifestation, it really does not exist spiritually. There must be physical workings, things that people can relate with, that tell us, are you getting my point? That something exists spiritually. Do you understand my point? That is, there's what James called faith made perfect by works. What he was saying is that the man is shown to really have faith if there are works to show concerning his faith. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, the one I'm emphasizing today is the matter of words that people speak. I've said this again and again. Christians learn some mannerisms. That is, you can have the work of faith and not have the faith of the works. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, somebody did something because he has faith. He said he's been healed, so he doesn't take medicine. He was sick. They diagnosed him as having a kind of difficult disease, and doctors prescribed some drugs. And the man took it for a while, and then one day he prayed and said, "I've been healed." And he threw his medicine away. And they said, This is risky. The guy said, What do you mean it's risky? Medicine is meant for the sick. I'm not a sick man, I'm a well man. Are you getting my point? That this is so persuaded concerning what he's saying. Therefore, the guy becomes well. He doesn't die. His sickness doesn't get the better of him. If anything, he overcame the devil. Then one day, any testimonies? He comes to church. He said, "There is a testimony. I was sick. But last week, I had cause to be examined because I took a new job. and they needed medical certification, and the doctor certified again that I'm very well. Now, the doctor said this a year ago, that I was sick unto death, and I had to take this medicine and this and this. But then, one day, I began to study, and the Spirit of God enlightened my heart. Are you getting the point? And then I realized that I really wasn't sick, therefore, I didn't need the medicine. So I forgot it, threw it away, and I continued my life. And here I am, I'm very well, I've been certified well now. And it was a, whoo, praise the Lord. Now, you know, that's really real, it happens, all right? Then somebody who's been sick also said, the key to getting well is throwing away your medicine. Now, listen. That man didn't get well because he threw away his medicine. Are you getting my point? So you see people who have the works of faith without having the faith of the works. You are getting the point I'm making here? In the same manner, there are people who talk the talks of faith without having the faith of the talk. Are you getting my point? They say it is well. Even T.B. Joshua now preaches it is well. You know, when you rub with some people, sometimes you learn some habits, all right? But that's just it, habits. They were not formed out of conviction in the copier's life. Are you getting my point? As a lot of people pray like T.D. Jakes, they have nothing to shout about. T.D. Jakes shouts because he has something to shout about, all right? But something, because they've been so blessed by the man, you think that by copying his mannerisms, you also bless people like that. It doesn't work. There is a spirit that is transmitted when somebody does his mannerisms. If you have those mannerisms without having that spirit, you will not be effective. Are you getting my point? That is, those things are manifested in that person's life spontaneously because there is a spirit inside him. You are getting what I'm saying? In the same manner, Paul said that there is a spirit of faith, and what the spirit of faith does is to make somebody talk. It makes him take certain actions. One, talking doesn't mean he has faith, but if he has faith, he will talk. That is, a man who doesn't talk doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. Listen, the way you know what is it, look, it's just that there are so many ways of copying the thing that is real. Are you getting what I'm saying? Otherwise, the most important way you know who has faith and who doesn't is by virtue of what the person says. Although you are not the judge of anybody's faith, so don't worry about it. Does that guy have faith? Let us check what he says. No, that one doesn't concern you. You should check with yourself when you talk in truth. Do you get my point? I mean, maybe a friend comes to you and they sit down and say, "Now, just give me counsel." So you look to the left, look to the right. The Pastor Bank is not around. Let me just tell you the truth. That is the one really that is coming out of your heart. The one that you say in public, it is, you know, when you go to church, there's what they call Christianese. You know, the way you speak Chinese, some speak Igbo. Abi, some speak Yoruba, some speak Chinese, and a large group of them speak Christianese. What is Christianese? In the entire church, praise God, praise God. Roha, now it is well. Bless you, sir. Are you getting my point? It's church language. It's good language, yo. It's just that you can copy it without believing it. I mean, you've seen all kinds of people speak in tongues on home video. They are not even filled with alcohol. How much more the Spirit of God? They are just acting. That's why they are called actors. Do you understand my point? Now, it's important to understand this balance. It's not everybody that goes around talking that really believes what they are saying. But those who really believe it, and that's why you should be a judge over your own life alone. All right? You have to judge yourself. Don't bother judging other people. You judge yourself. What do I really believe? When I talk, what is the talk that's really coming out of my heart? Let me say something to you. Really, as a person, you don't even have the ability to know what is inside you except by what comes out of you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, what is inside you does not announce itself to you, even you, except by the actions that they produce in your life. You don't know whether you have faith until you do certain things. You are getting the point I'm making? So that's why these things we are teaching is to show you where you are in your relationship with God. Because what's most important as Christians, I've said this, I think there was one message I preached at the beginning of last year, and a personal quest for God is important. You know, a man came to me recently, and, you know, he asked me to counsel him about something. And I don't like counseling much, but he caught me, you know what I mean? I don't know where Olisemeka was, so he caught me. Normally, Olisemeka would not block him. No, that's a fact. So I generally try and avoid as much as possible. I have many other things to do. But I oblige people who come here, that is, if I see you a number of times here, and you come and say, please, can I talk to you? Of course, I can't say no. Anyway, this man said, I should counsel in person. And he said a lot of things to me. And usually when people are talking to me like that, you know the interesting part? I don't have anything prepared to say to you. What I said to one will not be the same I will say to two, even if they came with identical situations. This is it. This is reality. As you are talking, my spiritual tentacles are up. The antenna, they are scanning the frequencies. The Lord saying anything. Is there a word for you? Is there, you know? So as you are talking, I'm hearing with one ear. The other ear. No, I'm using two physical ears to hear you. But my spirit is literally tuned to the... I'm praying there like, God, do you have a word for this guy? And I will tell you simply, like I told the young man as we're speaking, I said, well, since we have been talking, really, I don't have anything to tell you yet. So you know what I did? And I do that all the time. I'm just saying this might help some people, all right? If you're going to do the kind of job I'm doing. So what I do is I start asking more questions. The questions are not really designed to help me. They are designed to keep you talking. I don't know whether you get my point. They are designed to keep you talking. I'm not trying to learn anything from the question I'm asking you. They're just designed to keep you, you know, it's like your spirit keeps flowing. It keeps flowing. So when you finish, when the guy finished, I said, well, I told him, no, and I'm very honest, I know the deceive person. You know one of the reasons why I don't like deceiving people? I want to live long. Those who people deceive people, they don't live long. No, it's true. Elihu said, I don't flatter anybody, otherwise my maker will soon take me away. I don't like to deceive people. So I'll tell you simply, well, just keep talking. I don't have anything to tell you yet. And so he kept on speaking. Then at the point in time, I knew what to tell him. And I told him simply, many things have passed through my mind. This has stayed on top. This is what I'm supposed to tell you. Now, let me tell you this. And this is the point. He explained his problems and all of that. And, you know, well, I believe this just helps some people. You know, maybe like he's been doing stuff. He's not working and he's not satisfied in everything he's doing. All the questions I asked, it didn't sound to me like a man out of the calling of God for his life. It didn't sound like that at all. That is, as he was speaking, I asked him a particular question where I wanted to learn something. The way I answered, I said, no, this guy knows what he's doing. Then finally, I got it. Which is, I just want to share it with us again briefly because something I was saying earlier. I said, oh, this is what God wants you to do. I virtually gave it as an instruction. I said, you've been trying to work for God. Yes, this is your calling. I said, but you have not been built up in God. And God gave me an illustration immediately. I said, if your son in your house tries to help you, how do you feel? He's going to cause more trouble. I said, you have a little boy. Okay, maybe like I do. I have kids. I don't want them to do anything more than wake up in the morning, brush, go and have a bath, eat, brush, dress up, go to school, come back from school, eat again, remove your clothes, do your homework, play, watch other cartoons or what's his name, Donut Man, and then at night, go back to the table again, eat some more, my food, my money, do you get the point? Just don't fall sick. If you want me to be happy, do what I say, don't fall sick. All right? Sleep, wake up. Do I get tired of them that they always eat these children, they're always eating my food? But the day will come. Now, if you chop my food too much, I'll go, boy, come. You know, see, this is your throat, don't it too long, self. Are you getting my point? I expect you to start growing. I expect you to now go out of the house. Then one day, you know, I should join you two in marriage and then you start producing grandchildren. I don't know whether you are following what I'm going to say. That is, for a particular season, what do I want from you? Just develop. I know that's exactly how it is with God. A lot of us who are trying to help him out, God said, oh boy, why don't you just sit down? He said, Daddy, I just want to help you carry the television. Next thing here is Goza on the floor. Dear Lord. God will say, Igeb, receive me. He said, we love the Lord. Of course, you are the first in church. When the pastor is preaching, he's actually wasting time. Souls are perishing outside. We are sitting down here hearing the gospel. You want to go out and convert the whole earth. And God said, this man is sending more people to hell, but just this is running up and down. According to, what's his name, R.W. Schambach, he said, there are people who immunize people to the gospel. You know what's immunized? So Schambach says, some people have been immunized to the gospel. Somebody comes with something that looks like gospel. The people don't get converted, but they become resistant to the real one when it comes. A lot of people are just trying to work for God. That's what they are doing. immunizing the populace against God. Now, what am I going to say? That I say, for the Christian, what's most important to God is that you are built up. Don't ever forget that thing. God is not trying to get you to work for him. He's trying to get you to be like Christ Jesus. Then when you are like him, work comes out of you spontaneously, naturally. The thing just flows out of your system without you trying. And God is indeed glorified because it is his spirit that is birthing the things that you are doing, and it is energized by his spirit. You are getting the point I'm making? You follow all these points? Now, how did I get there? I was talking about the faith of the works, and then the works, and people not having, you know, people speaking Christianese, everybody going to church and being very, very active. Yeah, that's where I started from. So you see, it's not the words that's primary. Are you getting my point? It's the faith that is in the heart. That's what I'm trying to explain. That first, when the faith is built up, then the words spill out naturally. You are getting the point? It's not just that we are learning the language. No, we are imbibing the spirit. I was explaining that. Then the spirit that once it's inside, it naturally, are you getting my point? No, produce something. Something happened to me once, just a small story to illustrate this point. You know, then, and this is a fact, is what you are eating, you know, shows on your skin. You know, what you ate yesterday, that's when I say yesterday now, in previous years, is not affecting your complexion today. You know that. I hope you know that. What you ate in 2005 and early 2006 is not affecting your appearance today. It's what you ate. In fact, the whole of 2006 is in the last few weeks and few months. Now, I'm going to say something here. So, spiritually also, it's what you are feeding on now and in recent times, all right, that affects the words you speak. Are you getting my point? And the actions you take. Now, so then, I was feeding on some very dangerous words. It was said by Bishop Oyedepo, a Supernatural Living series. And around that time, not only him, Kenneth Hagin, a lot of ministers, John G. Lake especially, been jacking up on John G. Lake terribly, you know, people like that. Then I sat down in a meeting. I just started walking in Lute then. And a lady contesting a post walked up to me, all right, to campaign that I should vote for her for the vice president. So I turned from where, you know, when somebody just moved close to my chair, I was talking to a friend. I now turned to face her. So maybe she thought I was startled. But I don't know why would give her that impression. So she said, "Oh, did I scare you?" And I still remember the answer I gave her. I said, "Scare me?" I said, "Nothing is big enough to scare me in this world." I didn't know when I shouted for her. You know, I didn't plan it. I just turned. Somebody said, "Oh, sorry, did I scare you?" I said, "Scare me?" Now, I never met her before. I just started walking in Lute like a week or two before. And she said, "Did I scare you?" And I felt like I've been insulted. I said, "Scare me? Nothing is big enough in this world to scare me." Ah, she said, "Yes. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I said, "You don't need to campaign. I vote for you." Now, what am I going to say? Then, this wasn't church. This was Association of Resident Doctors meeting. It was not church at all. I didn't know whether she was a Muslim, a Hindu, or a Christian. I'd never seen her in my life. My first time of meeting this lady. So I wasn't trying to speak church language. If I didn't even have enough time to think church language thoughts, all right? I just responded according to what had been feeling my spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, in fact, I still heard my wife telling somebody recently, and you've heard me say it before, that when we first met, she thought something was wrong with this guy. No, really. Because of the way I used to talk. No, really. You big past this one, where would they see so? Or is there a part of you that is hidden that will tell us? Why? Because what you have heard me say, as God is my witness, you know, do you know the interesting part? I don't act preach, you know. I don't say anything just to make the message sound, you know. Maybe somebody has heard somebody pray, say, "Yet, when you preach like this, people will be persuaded." There is not, as God is my witness, there is nothing I say I don't believe. Like you heard me say last Saturday, I am going to personally receive I'll become more persuaded about it every day. I will receive ₦1 billion as offering for the propagation of the gospel from 12 people within the space of 24 months. I am absolutely, in fact, the one I'm beginning to question is, God, please, these 12, make sure they are not 50, because the rate at which people are catching on, and I'm going to say something as I'm going on today, all right? Because, please, don't ever forget this thing. God is not saying, now go out and go and look for how to make ₦1 billion so that you can give to the gospel. Listen, if you don't have ₦1 billion, don't try to give it. Please, don't pledge for me ₹1 billion. In Jesus' name, may I never receive a pledge from anybody. You know what I want? Sir, we have paid it. Do you get my point? So don't do it by faith. I don't want any... No, it's true. I see pastors say that, look, you can pledge by faith. Then when they don't redeem, you now be harassing them. Why am I saying that? I am not talking about trying. I'm talking about something that will come out because somebody has believed. Are you getting the point I'm making? So when you hear such talk... Now, I started by saying something that I'm sure of you. That, you see, every day I see reasons why I get surer. After that preaching I preached last Saturday, on Monday, I now heard that one governor-elect was bribing his opponents with ₦1 billion each not to go to court. I said, so, won't I be stupid if I cannot believe God that he can give ₦1 billion from 12 people to preach the gospel when a stolen mandate, they are trying to sustain it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And listen, money is not a... That's why I don't understand why people want to die for it. Why do people want to die for it? It's not necessary because, listen, this may sound funny, but the fact is that paper money, the money you spend, all right, is actually a mass delusion. You know what I call mass delusion? That is, it only has value because you all believe it has value. That's the only reason why it has value. If one day you go to the market and the whole line, nobody accepts your naira note from you again, you will get worried. Then you will realize that in reality, that naira note is nothing. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, it's just what it can do. The favor it buys for you, my favor. You walk up to a car shop, and if you give them ₦1 million, it buys you a favor. The man will be so happy he'll give you a car. Do you understand my point? Now, so you see, it's actually commanding the hearts of men. It's commanding the attitudes of people towards you. Now, what does that tell you? It's actually a manifestation of a spiritual force. That's the point I'm going to make. That's what it is. That's what money is materially. Therefore, I don't see why people want to, it's lack of understanding, actually. That's why we want to die for it. The truth is that if the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he can make all forms of resources abound towards him. Paul said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, having all sufficiency in all things. You will abound to every good work. That is, it is not a matter of struggle. It's that God decides that grace should come towards you. Are you getting my point? So, I want to give out ₦1 billion for the preaching of the gospel. God didn't say, hey, I know this job I'm doing. See, I'm a doctor. I don't want to do it again. The ₦1 billion won't come fast. So, you know what? I'm going to resign. I'm going to join Roke in real estate management or deals. Because you see, no, that one is not necessary. God said, believe. Now, remember what I said before? Time and chance begins to happen to you. Now, let me get back to my message. Now, I started all of this by trying to explain the fact that I don't see anything that I don't... No, I don't preach. You know what I mean by preaching? I don't try to preach. I am telling you what I believe. That which I have heard, which I have seen, which my hands have handled, which my faith has received in my heart from the Lord, that's what I'm telling you. Now, if I don't say it, it's because I don't believe it. Do you get my point? No, there's a difference between pride and just expressing what is true. Pride is just to think that you are better than somebody else. That is, you are comparing yourself to somebody else. Truth is, you just state what you are the way you are. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. They asked Jesus Christ, and he answered them, I am the bread of life. No, he wasn't saying I'm better than the Pharisee. He wasn't comparing himself with anybody. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Now, if you don't like it, it's you that has a problem with it. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, when a man says what he's persuaded about, people might confuse it and say it is pride. That's their problem. Don't let them derail your faith. That's important. John G. Lake, he said something once in one of his books. I've read most of John G. Lake's books, and his teachings are very powerful. If you have never read John G. Lake, let me beg you in the name of the Lord from today, start reading John G. Lake, John Graham Lake. Very beautiful preacher he was. He said there was a powerful man of God that he knew. Now, this man was very powerful. Anytime the man preached, like if he's come to town to preach, everywhere will be full. He will deliver the word of God with power, and anointing will be flowing plenty. And then one day he came, he heard the man was preaching, so he went to where the man was preaching, and he noticed that, number one, the hall was hardly, there were few people around. Not, were many, but not as much as he had expected. He said, number two, he noticed that when the man began to preach, the power, the delivery that he expected, you know, the anointing that followed his preaching wasn't the same like he used to know. So he began to ask questions. Now, there were many things that he said. Let me just give you a number of them, then I'll sit on the one that's most important for my teaching. He said that, one, the man stopped loving the word of God as he used to love it, and he tried to explain some things. But there's another one he said, which I believe was so important in the man's problems. He said the man joined a denomination of people, of preachers, who did not believe in what they call bragging on yourself. That is, when you preach and you hear the kind of thing I say, that I believe that I will receive, you know, they just say, he has come again. All these proud preachers, they should exalt Jesus Christ and self should not be seen. You know, we don't want to see you, we want to see Christ Jesus. I've told you again and again, God does not have a proper name of his own. No. He's always described by people. He's invisible. Are you getting my point? You can't see God until you see somebody. When Cornelius was going to see the gospel, he had to see Peter. Even the angel that appeared. You know, you didn't ask, why didn't the angel say that? Cornelius, sit down. In Romans chapter 1, of course there was no Romans. But to explain to him, no. He said, why don't you send for somebody in whom the Spirit of God is dwelling? Now let me continue my story. So he said, in that denomination, they don't want to hear it. You come and talk like that. The other day I was preaching somewhere. And then when I laid hands on my five people, five of them were blind. Immediately they began to see. You know, things like that. They say, he's bragging on himself. He wants to show us that, you know. Listen, as a man lied, has he tried to manipulate anybody? If anything, he's trying to build up their faith so that they will expect to receive something when he begins to minister. So he obliged them, of course. And you, oh God. Anyway, I'll get back to that. You have to be careful about modifying your knowledge of God to suit the opinion of people. Look, don't do what is popular. Are you getting my point? No. Look, something is popular. Everybody is doing like that. Doesn't make it right. If they don't like it, it's their personal problem. If you change, listen, if you are right and you change, you have denied your opponents the opportunity to know God better. Because you have gone down to their level. Instead of staying up where you are, and allow them come up to your level. Do you get the point I'm making? So when the man will say things like that, people will complain. So for that reason, he stopped. He will go and preach. No declaration of what he knows. Experiences he's had with God, he doesn't say anything about it. And the power of God in his life began to dwindle. John G. Lake now made a statement. He said, you can't have power. Now listen to this very well. He said, you can't have power with God and not brag about it. He said, anyone who is not bragging on the power he has with God hasn't got it. Now, that's what I'm going to say. The man was saying that, listen, you know the interesting part? Read the, you know, I quote Kenneth Hagin a lot because I read him and I'm still reading him and listening to his messages again because it was such a tremendous blessing. He said that, now he was a prophet. He was primarily a prophet, all right? So he had some manifestations which I believe God granted him to allow us to understand the gospel. You will see that, in fact, the whole of the gospel was founded, the Bible says, upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. They used to introduce new dimensions to teachings, which teachers now pick up and amplify and dissect properly. Now, one of the things he said is that the Lord told him, bring out your hands in a vision, and he did. And God anointed his hands, all right, with an anointing to minister to the sick. And he said, before people will be blessed by this, one thing you must do all the time, do you understand, is to tell them about this experience. You will tell them, I appeared to you in a vision. You will tell them, I told you to bring out your hands. You will tell them that I laid my hands on your hands, and you will tell them that there is an anointing in your hands to heal their sickness. If they believe it, 100% of the times they will get well. Now, I helped to understand this. That do you know how Jesus Christ used to minister? Oh, no, listen to this. Do you know how Jesus used to minister? You think he would just go and say, how many of you have repented? How many of you were baptized by John? Okay, those of you baptized by John, all right, come. Let's just stay here. Now, me and my guys, we are going to pray for you, and let's hope that the good Lord will help you see the repentance in your heart and bless you. No. You know what he used to say? He will go into, you know how he started his ministry? That was how he continued it every time. He went to a synagogue. He will say, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the sick. He has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. I have come to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. That is, if you believe that, come out here. You will get well. Now, you understand why they used to fight with him every time? This is why he's talking like this. He said, I am talking like this because I am the bread from heaven. The people say, but we know your father. I say, you don't know nothing. If you had known my father, you would have known me. The people say, no, kill this boy. That was why he used to offend people. The people know that this one spoke with authority. You know what it means to speak with authority? That is, they will say, Isaiah said, he'll say, no. Isaiah said his own. I am telling you that the spirit that inspired Isaiah is inferior to the one talking through me. So what I am saying to you, you had better hear it first before I start hearing Isaiah. The people looked and said, this table, this boy made it. And now he's coming to tell me that he's the bread from heaven. The bread from heaven. That was why in his hometown, the Bible said there he could do no mighty work. That was the reason. Because the only way he introduced his mighty work was to come out starting with this kind of declaration. The Spirit of God is... What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. The way Jesus started ministering every time was to talk about himself. Are you getting my point? He will tell you, the Spirit of God is upon me. That's why if you heard me talk on radio, I don't practice it too. It just comes out. I'll say, you can't hear me and believe me and fail in life. I'm not saying you can't hear God and believe. Have you seen God before? Where you go see him? The God on radio, his name is Banky. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. That is when God wants to manifest on Cosmo FM. You have to see Banky. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's the way it is. So I say boldly, that if I remember one message I was preaching like that, the thing came on me very strongly. I said, my assignment is to infect you with faith. That you can't hear me and be afraid of tomorrow. I'm not saying go and read your Bible, you won't be afraid of tomorrow. I'm saying, listen to me. I have an anointing to remove the fear of tomorrow from you. I'm saying it again. Listen to me. I have the anointing to remove poverty from your life. Listen. I said, listen to me. If you desire to give $1 billion, it doesn't have to be me. If your plan is that you will go to your village and build a school worth $1 billion, receive the word from my mouth and it will be done. You are getting the point I'm trying to make? That's the way it works. That's just the way it works. That was how Jesus used to minister. And the people say, this guy just talking about himself. He's son of carpenter. The bed, where would they sleep for our house? He built it. And he's telling me now he's the bread from heaven. That was why he couldn't help them in his village. But those who did not know him as a carpenter, it was good. They had never seen him before. So whether he came from Jupiter or from Mars, it made no difference. He said he's the bread from heaven. It's true. Because we followed him yesterday, man. Free lunch. You are getting the point. So for them, it was much easier. Those who knew him before, that's why Paul said, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. All we know is that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Like, do you know, if a young man comes and be managed to wear a nice white shirt, nice tie, clean clothes, And he says that one day I'm going to give ₦1 billion to the gospel. You know, it's not hard to believe. But if not your friend.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Is everything okay? You'll be looking at him, you. Now I see the whole, you see the owe me 100 card, you don't forget. Because he's your friend. But those who don't know, they will quickly believe. You are getting the point I'm trying to make here. But not the interesting part, which is what I'm trying to share with us today. Do you know, without those talks, things will never happen in your life? Are you getting my point? Listen, you can't go around feeling very nice and quiet. You don't want to offend people. You will offend yourself in the process. You hear what I said? You will offend yourself in the process. I said, then, this lovely wife I now married, at the point in time she couldn't take it anymore, she said to tell me that this man said, do you know you talk too much about yourself? Do you know the interesting part? I never thought so until that day. He said, you know what? Let me just summarize everything. I said, what? I think you're just full of yourself. That was the summary. We sat here, I remember that day. I said, okay, I'll think about it. So next day I came back. I said, I don't agree with you. I said, I'm not full of myself. I'm full of God. Everything I have told you, I believe it. What do you want me to do? Lie? No. Oh, you think I repented? I said, I'm so sorry. Now we'll start talking about you. Listen, I didn't plan it. I didn't plan it. I was telling you, I wasn't lying. I was not lying at all. Are you getting my point? I was saying what I was persuaded about, which I didn't. I wasn't trained like that from somewhere. Apart from as I was studying the word of God. You've heard me quote Isaiah chapter 6 verse 12 again and again and again and again. Now let me ask you simply. Apart from those who have heard me, how many people have you heard quote it? I'm not saying nobody. How many? It's not a common scripture. You know, there are scriptures that are very popular. Comfort you, my people. I mean, everybody quotes that one. All right? The Spirit of God is upon me. We all know it. All right? It was bruised on my transgression. It's a very common scripture. Arise and shine. We know those ones. But Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Me too, I never heard it quoted. I was jacking one day, reading the scriptures. Then the thing stood out. Oh God, I jumped up. And since then, it has not left my mouth. You can abuse me, then you never even buy a brand new car. That doesn't make any difference. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow. I can't change my mind about it. Are you getting my point? And I will continue to say it. Even after it has finished happening, I won't even know it because I'm so used to it now in my heart that I will not be able to tell you that, okay, I said, Pastor Banko, when was it fulfilled? Has it been fulfilled? I didn't even know. I'm still expecting greater things to happen. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Paul said it's called a spirit of faith. That what a man believes, he speaks. And let me say this to you. If you can't say it, it is because you have not yet believed it. All the one that you whisper, you wake up in the morning, it's good, but you are still trying to persuade yourself. Say, in Jesus' name, his prosperity close to one. You're waking up early in the morning to declare it's good. But you know what you are doing? You are trying to persuade yourself. Keep on keeping on, you know? Keep on trying. A day will come when you will make the statement and you will know that what you have said, you believe it. But what's my emphasis today? I'm saying if you don't say that thing, you are going to prevent it from happening. Please let me emphasize this to you. You know, there's one scripture I said that I went to preach. I'm going back there tomorrow morning. The first day I went to go and preach in the place I'm preaching for the last few days, a scripture came to my mind as I was, just before I mounted the pulpit. And I knew it was God. I mentioned to you earlier. Let's just read it. I think it will help us summarize the things that we are looking at. That's Isaiah chapter 34. I made a statement. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 verse 24. He said, believe that you have received it. He said, you will most certainly have it. Then, before I mounted that pulpit to begin to speak a few days ago, the Spirit of God just directed my mind to this place again. And I opened my Bible, got there immediately. Isaiah chapter 34. I'll read from verse 16, but before I read it, let me just explain. God was actually pronouncing judgment. All right? What he was doing was pronouncing what? Judgment. So it's not the judgment I'm talking about. There's a principle there. God was saying the kind of problems or what you will see in the land, that land, when he had finished judging it. He described all kinds of diverse animals, all right, that you will find inhabiting the place. Now, all the things he has said will happen. He now got to verse 16 and said, in case you are wondering, how would this thing come to be? Because some of those animals, that probably was not their natural habitat. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He now said in verse 16, it says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. That is, these prophecies, these things that the prophets have written. He said, not one of these will be missing. Talking about those animals, or in application also, all those events that he said will happen. He said, none will lack its mate. He said, this is the reason, for his mouth has commanded, that is the mouth of the Lord, and whenever the mouth of the Lord commands, next line, he said, his spirit has gathered them. His spirit will go out to gather. Now, there's something I want to understand here. Notice this, that what is going to happen is because the spirit of God is gathering. Now, are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is, the spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters, and then God commanded, light be. Then that spirit went and brought light. Are you getting my point? God commanded, let the waters move to one side. Then that spirit became wind suddenly and blew the waters off to one side and kept the earth on one side. Are you getting my point? That is, it is not as if it will have been predictable. No. The deciding matter is that the mouth of God commanded. Are you getting my point? Therefore, the spirit of God began to rearrange things according to that commandment. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, this is very important because, you see, sometimes when you talk, I've had people, I'm sure you have explained it to you, say something very positive. You make a statement of hope, a statement of expectation. Now, and I've said this again and again, if you don't have expectation, you are not a Christian. After now, see me, let me lead you in a sinner's prayer, come and give your life to Christ. I'm serious. Christianity always gives expectation. Jesus told his disciples, he said, look, you will see calamity. He said, but you, at that point, lift up your eyes because your salvation or your redemption is near. That is, being a disciple or a disciple of Jesus Christ meant they will have an expectation in the midst of troubles. You get the point? You get the point? So anyone who didn't have that expectation was not one of his disciples. It's a very simple logic. Therefore, listen, if you are a whiner and grumbler, like everybody else, take it from me. You're not a believer. You know why? You don't believe anything. You know who a believer is? Somebody who believes something. He said, Jesus Christ died. That is evidence of things not seen. But he said, faith is the substance of an expectation that we have. Are you getting my point? Now, so when you make statements of expectation, statements of hope, you know what happens? People start trying to explain why what you are saying doesn't make sense. But I'm giving this to you today to help your faith become strong. That we are saying that if we use the natural order of things, yes, maybe we don't make sense. But we are saying that when we speak according to the commandment of God, then his spirit goes out and gathers it. Are you getting the point I'm making? You know, I said something, this was on radio, I think last Monday, and we'll continue it again on Monday. I preached this for radio. I said, when Peter sank, while trying to walk on water, let us assume your friend sank, he drowned, while trying to swim. What would be the explanation for why he drowned? They would say, he did not know how to swim. He said, he wasn't even trying to swim. He was trying to walk, he was trying to walk on water. So this is the reason. Human beings don't walk on water. Actually, when a human being puts his foot down, he must stand on something that the surface tension is very strong, bigger than the amount of pressure being imparted by the square foot. But you know, all this kind of story, you know? It's pure science that human beings shouldn't walk on water, and it's correct science. Are you getting my point? But when Peter sang, what did Jesus say? He said, you sang because of your unbelief. No, are you seeing different perspectives to the same thing? You know what? One thing I'm beginning to understand. Now, get this point. One thing I'm beginning to understand is, as we are teaching and as I'm meditating, I'm beginning to understand this thing. You know, there are stories you hear, And it could be like, say, na tail. You know what I mean by tail? Na tail. They will tell you that a man sat down. Maybe he's a yogi. All right? You know what they call a yogi? And then he began to levitate. Do you follow my point? A friend told me a story once about, you know, martial arts. You know, martial arts, you know, when we're young, you watch movies. You watch Chinese film. You don't watch Chinese film before. Then you see one man. An army will appear. And then he will jump to the middle of men with sword. Get me? They have swords. Some of them have axes. You know, all kinds of weapons. All he has is 5 fingers on the right hand and 5 fingers on the left hand. And he's got two lower limbs. Oh, push, 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 push. And then, of course, as a child, woo, 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 you're very excited. And the guy does defeat 100 heavily armed men with a few scratches on his body. And then when you grew up a bit, you looked at it and said, photo trick, na film, na film. And then most people end life thinking, na film, na film. But I grew up further and realized it, no be film. Are you getting my point? The one you are watching, yes, na film, but it's based upon reality. They wrote those things because men used to do them. Are you getting the point I'm making? Yeah, do you know everything James Bond tried as film trick? Eh? All of them, science have done and overdone. They've more than done it now. You know that. Forget James Bond. Science fiction of those days, they are the realities of today. There are things that Bible prophesied that you look so far-fetched. Listen, now ordinary science have done it. Now, there's something I'm trying to say. So those guys wrote those things. Like when we studied, those of us who were around on Mondays for our School of Bible Exegesis, I explained about what Paul talked about, the men of renown. And not Paul, sorry, Moses in Genesis. When I was talking about the Anakim, the giants that were in the land then, that's the story. That's the origin of the stories that you hear about Atlas, Hercules, Zeus, all those people. Those stories were born of reality. Certain people existed that were so mightily powerful that Israelites saw them and said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Get down to David. You want to see Chinese film? Go and watch David's men now. One man with one sword in his hand will fight off 300, a whole army, trying to defend the beans that his friends planted. A man will jump into a pit on a day that is snowed against a lion. Haba. Chinese film, is not a joke. It's based on truth and reality. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, let me get back to the meantime, what I'm trying to explain. As time went on in life, as time is going on, I begin to understand something more. Now, so you hear things like somebody is levitating. A friend told me a story once about this martial arts film. That's why I even remember Chinese film. That you know the way you see a man break maybe a big log with his fist, and you look at the hand and say, if we're to put his hand down, hit the log on it, the hand should be ground to powder. How is this man managing? Now, I didn't witness this, but it helped me illustrate something. So he told me that there was a man, whether he saw it really, I don't know, but the story for me is very important. It will help us learn some things about life. That these guys, they were doing a show. So they were cutting things like that, breaking wood with their hands. So he tried, you know, this particular heavy one. First attempt, it didn't go. Second attempt, it didn't go. That his friends or his seniors, realizing what had happened, they took him off the place and took him behind. They knew that his power had been weakened. So they maybe whatever they went in, talked with him, relaxed him, he meditated, and then he came back. He said when he came back, he raised his hand. Before he touched the wood split. I don't know whether you're getting the point. As he was bringing his hand down on the wood, just before he touched, the thing split by itself. Now, the person telling me the story was just trying to explain some things that has happened in life. But then I told you once, I don't know if you've been listening to me for a long time, there's a story, it's one of my books, although the book is not out yet. I watched this on TV. You know, those days when the Lord was teaching me real spiritual truth. So I used to see things with not common eye. Everything that happened, I'm looking at it with spiritual eyes. There was this man teaching kids about martial arts, and teaching them martial arts, and he was trying to tell them about using the power inside them. So he sat down and put his two hands together and said the two kids should pull it apart. So they struggled and struggled, and he struggled against them, and they managed to pry the hands apart. He said, very good. That he's going to do something now, and they should try again. That he's going to put the two hands together again and exert no energy, and they should try and pull it apart, and they will find out that they can't. He said, but to prove that he's not exerting any energy, he will put his fingers together, the tips of his two index fingers together like this, and just be twisting his hand in perfect smooth motion, circular motions, to show you that he's not struggling. Now, I watched this on TV, all right? So maybe they did photo trick and all of that. I don't know. And it started, of course, and trust me now. If I wrote a teaching that night, the strength of the spirit. So what the guy began to do, those guys struggled, and they just stood gently. And he was just turning his hand like this. It was explained to them that what he's using is energy inside, that he didn't need the physical energy to do what he was doing. Now, listen, let's get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter walked on water and sank, Jesus said, you sank because of what? You're not getting the point. Is it that the laws of water and all of that no longer exist? No. He was just telling him that, look, listen, my friend, if you walk in a particular realm, there are laws that are more powerful, that defy and overcome natural ones, and it's the law of faith. And if you were walking in that faith, you will have found that you could walk on water anytime. Do you know, after contemplating the person of the Lord Jesus, I wrote an article, those of us who are coming from School of Bible Exegesis, you'll see it. What I call the supremacy of Christ. You see all those things that the Hindus are trying to achieve, all those things they are trying to do. Eh? Jesus accomplished it long ago. And they are struggling to fill a position that has been filled. Listen, every Eastern religion you see, they have what they call a living perfect master. Are you getting my point? Then that living perfect master dies. Oh, you've not noticed. Then they appoint another living perfect master. Then one day, that one dies. And then they appoint another living perfect master. No, I'm serious. I've read a lot of them. I've seen the Ekankar people call it the Mahanta. They call their own the Godman. He exists. The current one is an American. One day he will die. He will be buried. His flesh will see corruption, according to David. Are you getting my point? Yes. He's the Holy One will see corruption, which means he cannot, but he said concerning Jesus Christ, that he ever liveth. Study the book of Hebrews. See, some of those things you read in the Bible, listen, it didn't happen only to the Hebrews. The rest of the religions of the world, they are also trying to strive towards something, which is a seed that God has placed in the hearts of people. Now, the confusion therein is that that position is filled, and the person filling it never dies. There's no religion you practice on the earth, listen, that if you met Jesus personally, he won't answer all your questions. None. I know what I'm saying. None. That was why he looked at the disciples. He walked on water, and they said, Master, it is you. He said, Nami. He said, come. He said, Peter, hey, Peter go sink. But anyway, he said, we should come. So what are we going to do? Okay, come. No, believe me. I know he knew Peter was going to sink. Because there's a kind of development of the soul that you will get to. No, you needed to get there. All right? For your faith. Because what I'm saying is that faith is literally a tangible force of life. You've watched the, what do you call this film? I think you should all go and watch it again. Matrix. Look, until that guy, no, that film is very funny, The day I watched it, I said, this film is very spiritual. No. The day I saw this film, there are movies like that when I watched, I said, I don't know who wrote this movie, but either by accident or by intention, the guy wrote a spiritual story. The prophet said this guy can do it. He couldn't do it until he believed he could do it. And the moment his heart reached that level, look, faith, listen, is a force. The man will just stretch his hands, and as you are firing, all the bullets, get my point, without exerting any energy. This was the one that, before Shibina to dodge, he was striving to dodge. But once he entered into rest, he ceased from his labor. So the guy just does like this, and the bullets are dropping in front of him. What I like about it is that the men he used to fight with energy, then the guys who come with all the energy, who just stand there like this, just stand, you know, like, why are you hustling? Oh, man of flesh, you know, why are you struggling? You have wrestled against humans. You ran against men. They wore you out. How do you run against horses? You know, like, what's all of this? Now, let me tell you, those are the real things about life. Listen. Oh, God, if you know what God wants to do with true Christians, that is why people like me are supposed to teach and teach and teach like this. Because the businessman that wakes up at 5, is out of the house by 6, doesn't come back till 11 at night, by which time, if his wife says, welcome, he doesn't even hear the welcome. A friend of mine does this, a neighbor, he will put, this is not a joke, almost every other night, I'll have to enter his apartment to go and put off fire from food that's burning. He will literally put food in his mouth and try to chew it and sleep off chewing. No, that is what happened to people. Let's assume there is a man, a businessman, a minister, something, whatever it is you are doing in life, you are striving like that. Oh, Paul said, listen, labor to enter into rest. When you have entered into rest, you will lie down at home, all right? Wake up at 6, pray and study the scriptures till 7, shave, have a bath, catch up on early news, all right? And finally walk out of the house at 9 and the biggest businesses, they are waiting till you get there. He said, I'm a man under authority. I say to this, go. And he goes. You don't get what I'm going to say. And Jesus said, wow, this guy understands the principles of life. That is not struggling, is saying, oh, you're not getting what I'm going to say. He said, I say to this, go. I don't push my soldiers. I say to this, go. I say to that one, come. And he comes. So Paul said it like this, labor to enter into rest. I said it to us before in previous teachings about the power of words. That listen, words are not, if I tell you car, it doesn't cross your mind to say C-A-R. Do you follow my point? What comes to your mind? Instantly, if I say, okay, please go downstairs, you'll find my car. There's a picture that comes to your mind instantly. You are getting what I'm going to say? That's how words are. They communicate ideas. They communicate images. But this one that I want you to notice. More than that, they communicate authority. Are you getting my point? So somebody says, I say, come out. The demon says, who? Where? Come out from where? He said, by the name of Christ Jesus whom Paul preaches. He said, huh. All right. Get me a cane. Now, if the same Paul comes near and says, come out. In fact, the demon, when they hear his approach, they take the other entrance. You know, in the person of Jesus Christ, they didn't used to come near. Once they start approaching, the madman, out of a quest for deliverance, approaches. The demon starts running back. Please, 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 please. You know, he hasn't said anything. He hasn't talked. Have you come to torment us? It's not yet time now. And he was just going his way. Now, are you getting my point? That is the person that we are dealing with. When he speaks, his words communicate the degree of authority that's inside him. That's why Paul said, labor to enter into rest. What he was saying is that build up your spiritual energy so that when you talk, he goes. When you say come, he comes. You are getting the point I'm going to make here. Listen, faith is a literal force on earth. The real faith is found in the heart of the believer in Christ Jesus. There are small, small faiths everywhere that common men used to build great enterprises. Do you get the point I'm going to make here? That is, look, what I'm saying this is that he said, once the mouth of God has commanded, that no matter what the opposing forces appear like, it's irrelevant. The Spirit of God goes out and gathers it. And the Spirit of God works, if necessary, against that which is natural. Are you getting my point? So he said, come to Peter. And as soon as Peter stepped on water, water refused to part under the feet of Peter. The only time the water began to part, allowing Peter to sink, was when Peter took his eyes off faith and put it on fear. I've said this to us 100,000 times. The only job Satan has in life is to make you doubt. He doesn't have any other job. Are you getting my point? The only job Satan has in this life is to make you doubt. He has no other job. That is why I said this to you. I mean it. I said, within a space of 12 months, beginning from very soon, I'm already dreaming of how I will spend 12 billion naira in 24 months. No, the first dream is, as I've already gotten the picture of that one. I'm developing it. Oh my God. My plan, which I have received. No, my wife asked me, he said, wait, let's clarify it. How many millions are in 1 billion? I said 1,000, to be sure. I said, in one whole year, we don't pay Cosmo FM, 1 million naira. Yeah, they air us 30 minutes once a week. And what we pay them, just about 800,000 in a year. I said, so out of that one of the billions, imagine how many hours if I want to be on radio station. You know Pastor Chris Oyakhilome? I'm not his fan in any other thing, apart from one thing. His presence in the air. He has become a principality that dwells in the air, I'm telling you. Oh, don't let me see some things. But do you know the truth? That is small compared to what I'm planning to do. What I'm saying, I mean it absolutely. That one is small compared to what he's done now. Because I believe I have a very important message to preach. One. Number two, I believe I have been empowered to preach it. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying. That is, there is a force that the good Lord has placed in my spirit with which I press his word into the hearts, the ears and hearts of men. Therefore, that thing has to be maximized. Are you getting my point? Listen, in this country and beyond here, in Africa especially, hear this statement. This is not a matter of pride, it's a matter of fact. I will be more influential than any president on this continent. No. Are you getting what I'm saying? That presidents will be afraid lest I speak against them. And as God lives, I will never discuss them. Because that will be an abuse of my powers. It's not one of my assignments. My assignment is to teach righteousness. But listen, I will teach righteousness to a level that when men believe it, the spiritual forces in their hearts can kill a head of state. You are getting what I'm saying? Listen, you will see it. You will see it. It's not a Kingdom World Ministries International. No, that's not the name of the headquarters. It will be Kingdom World Media Center. Because all we are doing is what? Churning out in print, on the airwaves, on the internet, any kind of podcasting, But this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the ends of the world as a witness to the nations. Gospel from Africa. It will happen. Are you getting my point? It will happen. And now, my message for today is that I believe it so much, yet if all I do is just think about it in my heart, it will never happen. I will get up to the mountaintop and declare it. The problem with people, they are afraid to talk lest it doesn't happen and they appear like failures. That is why you can't serve God until you get to a position where you don't love your life unto death. You are getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen to me, I know it will happen. Therefore, I talk like that. When God changed the name of Abraham, is to let him know that, my friend, it will happen. So you can start bearing the name now. If you don't bear the name, it is because you are afraid that it might not happen. You are getting the point I'm making? That's the way it works. That's just the way it works. When Zachariah was going to talk nonsense to you to spoil everything, Gabriel said, I know the way this thing works. Close your mouth. Because faith is a force. If you speak negatively, that is the outlet for the spirit of faith. When he wants to express itself, he expresses itself through the mouth. He said, with the mouth, confession is made, resulting in tangible manifestation called salvation. You are getting what I'm trying to say? So when the guy was going to use mouth to spoil everything, zip him for him. When the child has been born, why did they open his mouth after? Should I tell you? Because what a man can see, he can't doubt. If it was possible to doubt it, that girl would have been done for life. Otherwise, listen, John the Baptist would have become sick. And then one day, he would have died. You don't get the point. I don't want to go into that dimension. You will know that sometimes when prophets talk, their words are so powerful that they just come to pass by virtue of the faith of that prophet himself. Then the people that he's trying to bless, they lose the blessing shortly after. That's why people go to crusade ground. And the humbugger say, it is well. And they are well. Then when they get home, they are sick. Look, because of time, let's leave this. Listen, there are so many things God wants to do in life. I've told you, please hear this. Peter sink on water, not because waters can carry people, but because there is a spiritual force called faith that is needed to bring the effect of God onto a disorderly world. Listen, the world will never cooperate to make God work. There must be an external force stronger than them to make things work. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I have thought about it seriously. It's not possible without God on earth to have another society. It's not possible. There are too many human beings. Just think about it. Each one having ideas. You want to put order into Nigeria? It needs men of faith. Faith generates a spiritual force from your spirit. When your heart has faith, when faith is coming out of your heart, your spirit, everybody has a spiritual dynamo. You are generating a form of energy. Some people's energies are so strong, they dominate everybody else. Are you not simple that there are 1,000 people in a place? So they walk in, they speak one word. Nobody has a contrary opinion. Before he came, everybody had an opinion. That's why Aluta, you've not seen Aluta. Aluta is always championed by one person. There's only one person champ, because what happens is that he has such a strong spirit, he starts carrying every other spirit that are very, very idle. What am I trying to preach? That the force of faith, it's a force. Faith generates a real spiritual force. So if you want to do things on the earth, that's where you spend your energy. Listen, before you launch out, like the man I told you I was counseling earlier, I told him that you've been trying to walk. In fact, essentially what Jesus was saying, tarry in Jerusalem until what? You are endued with power. The man was trying to walk, he had not been endued with power. Are you getting my point? That there was a building up that was necessary, or there is a building up that is necessary, that he had not been built up to that level. So if you go out, they will just crush you. Well, let's end this message here. We'll continue next time. The Lord is good. I know I'm stopping abruptly, but let me just end it here so that because